Galaxy Audio presents Under the Black Ensign by L. Ron Hubbard. Chapter 1. Aboard the Terror. The Marlin Spike was inoffensive enough. In capable hands, it might possibly have laid a man out. But Tom Bristol had shown few signs of wanting to lay anyone out. And if he had, it is certain that he would not have used a short piece of wood for the purpose. And yet, that Marlin Spike was to be Tom Bristol's passport to piracy. He was working in the crosstrees of the mizzen top, hanging on with his toes far above a restless deck, using the spike to splice a length of line which had parted in the storm just past. From his vantage point, he could see the swelling reaches of the serene Caribbean, blue and deceptively cool in the morning sunshine. Far to the west, he could see a blue smudge, the mountains of St. Kitts. To the south, he had seen the soft whiteness of a sail, but as he was not the lookout, he had paid it no further attention. Besides, in these busy days of 1680, a man would soon grow hoarse crying every ship in sight. And the British man of war was not interested in immediate combat. The HMS Terror, 500 tons, 70 cannon, was concentrating on the task of taking the Lord High Governor of Nevis back to his island, where he would marry the long-expected Lady Jane Campbell. When Tom Bristol took in the horizons, a close observer might have noticed a certain hunted look flickering in his eyes, the look of a caged leopard angrily pacing behind bars. It was not prominent, that look, but it was there. Tom Bristol's belt creaked against the spar, and his hands were busy at their task. His bare back rippled as he moved his arms. He thrust the marlin spike between hempen strands and then glanced down at the deck below. Several men were standing beside the mizzenmast, and the sun played over their gold lace and polished steel in a blinding fanfare of light. In their center was the Lord High Governor. All Bristol could see of this personage was a circle of black hat brim and the extremity of his paunch. Something about the way the Lord High Governor tried to brace himself expertly against the roll of the ship, an effort which was succeeding ill, excited Bristol's silent laughter. The marlin spike, none too tightly held, slid out unobserved. Bristol caught sight of it as it flashed down far out of reach. Like a bomb, it swooped toward the deck, straight for the Lord High Governor. Bristol gripped the spar, suddenly sick with dread. It seemed that the spike fell forever, but still he could find no time to cry out. The clatter, as it struck the white planking beside the Lord High Governor, might as well have been a cannon shot. The officers leaped back. With a shrill scream, the Lord High Governor threw his hands across his face, a gesture far from necessary now that the danger had passed. Wrathful eyes glared up into the rigging. Bristol stared back, forgetting to breathe. He was not a timid man, far from it, but he knew his immediate fate just as well as if it had been already announced. Lieutenant Ewell's roar was louder than a lion's.
Come out of that, you lubber! Get down here!
Bristol gripped a stay and slid to the deck. He stood up and faced the officers. The Lord High Governor shook with rage.
You blackguard! You insolent whelp!
Shouted the governor.
Trying to murder me? Odds wounds! What have you to say for yourself?
My marlin.
Bristol began, his voice quite steady.
Shut up!
Cried the governor.
It's attempted murder. That's what it is. Attempted murder. You're in the Bay of France to kill me. I see how it is now. I see how it is.
Captain Manville, his arrogant face rimmed by a silvery beard, stared holes into Bristol.
We've had trouble with you before, my man. You realize, of course, that your act will not pass without punishment.
Bristol glanced at the others.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?